This is Lou Lombardi from the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, and you're listening to the best unsigned rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer.
Your Scene Network. Visit us at www.podcastyourscene.com.
Yeah, the local media has an agenda that they're going to serve. I don't know who's in charge of it or what it is, if it's like a headless monster.
Why? This is a question.
Walking backwards. Yeah. Something sacred.
I don't know the names of the creep songs. Those are
running
CDs
in circles.
You just pop in and let play.
Sea of Glass.
It's the flight and the fall.
I love Ozzy. I think he's the true definition of a rock star. I heard a comedian talk about him and Michael J. Fox. You know, the world, something's wrong with the world when Michael J. Fox is all screwed up and Ozzy's fine.
Good.
Hey, it's Bill, and this is the Pennsylvania Rock Show, episode number 473, providing you with the best unsigned rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer, right here on PARockShow.com, BuildTheScene.com/radio, RootAroo.com, MegaRockRadio.net, 107.1 FM St. Louis, Missouri, AltRockRadio.ca, and xrpradio.co.uk. That would be our newest affiliate in the United Kingdom. So we're all over the United States, Canada, and the UK as well. With me this evening is Danny Gochner. What's up, Danny?
Hi, Bill. Thanks for having me. How's things going today?
Not too bad. I swallowed my word there. That's awesome. So we're gonna jump right into things, Danny. Can you tell me what three records influenced you the most and shaped you into the musician that you are today?
It's interesting because I've always liked music ever since I used to sleep with a radio under my pillow. I always had records going and stuff. Except my first album that really enticed me to ask my folks, my first guitar was the first Monkees record. That show came on TV, and I was like, Mom, I got to play guitar. It's a great way to make a living. You know, it's cool. Want to be a monkey. So that started it. But then after I all played for a while, Led Zeppelin 2 came out, and like that record rocked my universe. That changed like the whole way I approached playing. I still use those things now, all of these years later. Zeppelin's still one of those things I kind of go kind of back to, pull out of a hat now and then. And then later on, as I got kind of better, I started listening to jazz players quite a bit. And I got kind of turned on to Larry Carlton, Robin Ford, Rittenhour, those guys, through Steely Dan, Asia. So I kind of started at Asia at that point, and then bought all of their records going back. They're still one of my favorite bands. Excuse me now. So I think those three: Monkees, Led Zeppelin 2, and Asia are probably most influential.
I told you off the air the story behind this question, the social studies question, and the fans have heard it before, so I won't repeat it. But if I was flipping through my social studies book at school and came across the page with a picture of you on it, what would that page be about?
That's funny. It's actually a hard question. Maybe schizophrenia. I don't know. There's definitely two sides of me. I have a day job as a home care physical therapist. I have a night job playing in a rock and roll band. So it's kind of definitely, there's two sides. One side's very analytical, and the other side is creative. I don't know if that answers a question about social studies, but it's just kind of who I am. And
that works.
It doesn't answer right. It doesn't answer that question, does it? I'm sorry. It's a hard question.
I tend to come up with questions from that one was from an insert. Well, no, one later is that I'm going to ask you is from an in-service that I had with other social studies teachers. And sometimes I'll hear a question on the radio. I'm like, you know what? If I alter that a little, I could use that on my show. So I have influences too.
It takes a lot of I guess a lot of thought, you know, because that's something I've never even thought of before. So that's a good question. Keep that one.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk about your album, The Despair of Summer, for a moment.
Yeah.
Where did you record it, and are there any interesting stories about the writing or recording process that you could share with us?
It was done at a small home studio out in Aliquippa, owned and operated and run by a guy who's known around town, plays a lot. His name's Joe Monroe, and his studio is aptly Studio Joe. And he's excellent with Pro Tools and stuff, and he plays every instrument. Like, he was a great keyboardist, great singer, drums, bass, guitar, accordion, mandolin. He's just a great all-around player. And a nice guy. He's been a best friend of mine for about 40 years. And I actually had a side group like playing with him and a singer, a Tom Sherry Richards, if you know Sherry. And those guys and some friends really encouraged me to go into the studio and try it out, you know. So I didn't really have anything written yet, but I called Joe and I showed up, and him and I started working on things. And I've had notebooks full of ideas for 4 years, like a chorus here, chorus there, chord changes here. I'd just like write stuff down. And so after Joe's encouragement, I started kind of putting all of those things together in, you know, like song format. And it felt kind of great experience. Like, I went into this record, I'm known around Pittsburgh as a guitar player. That's what I do. And I've done it around here for about 40 years. And so, like, making this record, I consciously stayed away from making a guitar record, because I think that's what everybody expected, you know. And the reason I decided to make an album was to challenge myself mostly. I wanted to be a songwriter and singer, and so that's what I kind of set out for. So everybody who hears it's quite like shocked. Because there is not a lot of like wild guitar soloing on it. There's some guitar on it here and there, but it's mostly singer songwriter stuff. And everybody's kind of quite shocked at that. I think pleasantly so. I hope pleasantly so. Well, good feedback, you know. So it's kind of encouraging. I'm gonna keep going. I'm halfway through a second record now. So,
oh, cool. Who played on the record besides yourself, obviously?
Joe Monroe. He did all of the keys, background vocals. He played the bass on everything. He even played drums on one song, and him and I kind of played mandolin on a couple things. Mostly I did, but there's things that he played on. The great drummer, Delta Struts, Mark Pallera. He's a drummer, and that's it, really. Sherry sings background on a song, and there's one song that's got a violin solo, beautiful violin solo, a guy named Bob Banerjee. So, and that's it. You know, there's like four of us on the record.
What can you tell me, like, give me a VH1 Storyteller's version of the song Better Things to Do that we're going to listen to here shortly.
I've had the chorus written for a while. It's something I came up with several years ago. I always liked it. And as I started getting near 60 years old, you start thinking about like legacy, and like if you live your life well enough, you start kind of questioning your own mortality. And that's what that song kind of faces. It asks questions like, I don't know, questions like, was I good enough and things. And I kind of like the imagery of it because it's quite personal, introspective. It's like, after I'm gone, will there be angels singing hallelujah? I'm a chorus playing trumpets and stuff like that. Or the singing and like, meet me at the crossroads, you know? And I think it's a song that everybody, once you start getting older, can actually relate to.
Well, let's take a moment and listen to Better Things to Do. We're also going to hear a track from your friend Dave Moulter as well.
Oh, great.
And we'll be right back with Danny Gochner.
Sing hallelujah chorus too. Will St. Peter constant hostel in the heart of an aging starlet. You find a space to place your face down face and waste the day staring into a series of histrionic crises. From yellow bamboo tones, yet a rise cry foul at the major gate. Who swings a look like a pro on the corner of Third and Broadway in the age of spiders and destiny? Where does she go?
Hey, it's Bill. We're back on the Pennsylvania Rock Show, episode number 473. You just heard from Danny Gochner. Almost did it again.
That's a hard name to pronounce.
Well, and it's because I'm seeing the letters in my head.
Right. And, yeah.
Dave Moulter. Danny's song was Better Things to Do. Dave's song, Be the Sunshine by Dave Moulter. That's the first time I've played that track.
Great song. Yeah, great song. Looking forward to hearing his whole album.
Previously, I played Mid-Century Man.
Yeah, great song, too.
But I have a couple more questions for you.
Yeah.
I know that you play with Joe Grushecki and the House Rockers, and they're actually playing, are actually playing at the Pittsburgh Blues Festival tomorrow.
Yes.
What other shows do you have coming up, and is there anything you can tell us in particular about the Blues Festival?
Not really. I just know, like, everything helps. John Vento's organization is going to help autistic children. So that's why I'm always happy to do stuff like this. I'm actually going to do a show on August 24th. Yeah, this lead guitarist, Dave Moulter's band, for a function that's going to charity event for the Liver Foundation. And that's August 24th. It's that new Roxian Theater in McKees Rocks.
Okay. Yeah, they just opened up recently.
Yes. Yeah, so I'm excited. That's my first time up there and playing. This is kind of Dave's band thing. He plays the... in my solo projects live, and so now I get to return to that favor, play in his live project. Yeah, so it's going to be kind of fun.
Awesome. What was it like stepping into an already well-known and established band like the House Rockers, especially knowing that they have collaborate with Bruce Springsteen from time to time?
Exciting and scary at the same time. I had known Joe for a long time, and I never expected him to call me and called, asked if I'd be interested, and I said, sure, I'll check it out. And he showed up, and he handed me this huge pile of like CDs, like 13 CDs or something, and he said, learn this stuff. It was like, seriously, like, you got to have at least one set list or two down that I can start with. And, so we kind of took it from there. And I like really respect his legacy and everything that he's done here. So I approached it I wanted to keep it true to the originals, but I also wanted to interject my own stylings to it. Joe is gracious and gave me the freedom. He just said, just play, play like you play. And I still try to keep all of the old parts like they are, except in solos, I stretch out a little bit more. It is quite an honor, though, to play, somebody he's got longevity. He's been around since the late 70s, it was cool because I had been a house rocker for only a few months and played with Springsteen in Jersey, and that was exciting.
I believe that.
Of course. Yeah, it's exciting, and it's quite an honor. It's a good gig. Love Joe, and Joffo, the band's great. We're all brothers, and I told Joe, after I put this record out, I'm not going to quit. I don't want you to think I'm going to leave and stuff, because I'm very happy as a house rocker. So,
Before I forget, we already mentioned the summer or the Despair of Summer track and Mid-Century Man track from Dave Moulter. But at the beginning of the show, I played two songs that I didn't mention yet. The second song was by a band called Private Eye, and the first song was by Lou Lombardi. It's Where Have All the Acid Queens Gone? And
right.
And the reason I want to bring that up is because you and I were talking about him. I interviewed him for my other podcast, Three Questions and a Song, and then you checked him out, and you were excited because he also played a PRS guitar.
Right.
So yeah. So I assumed that you were a gearhead. I know now that you're not, but I'm going to let you go ahead and talk about your gear if you don't mind.
I'm not a gearhead because I can't afford it. I told you, I can't keep up with all that stuff, man. There's so much great gear out there, and it kind of drives yourself in insane chasing after that. I have a sound hear in my head, and I think it's my own sound. I haven't changed gears since 2007. I started up using an amplifier. There's a guy named Andy Fuchs who he makes fantastic amplifiers out of New Jersey, and it's just beautiful. It just does everything I expect up to, and I got pedals, but I don't use them very often. I change those once in a while, except then again I change pedals and then I don't use them. Everything you hear is me and the amplifier, guitar, the amp. There's very few effects on it. I have a lot of instruments. I don't really have any expensive instruments. I have an old Gibson. I still play a Gretsch and a couple of Fenders and a PRS and John Page. I gotta say, I hooked up with this guy. His name's John Page, and John used to run Fender's custom shop for years and years, and now he's making his own instruments. They're just beautiful, not expensive, except fantastic, and I take two of those out, the PRS, and that's it, really.
I saw a meme the other day on Facebook, and it's watermelon, except the pink part is blue. And it says, okay, if this watermelon looks blue to you, that means it's time for you to buy another guitar. And I was like, funny. What do you mean another? I don't have one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I don't buy gear. I couldn't even name something. If I had the money, I couldn't even say, if I had $5,000, I would go buy this. There was nothing I don't need anything. I'm very happy with the stuff I have, and it works for me, and so it's all good.
That's I won't say that there isn't a guitar in the house, because my son does have a little three quarters Fender that he was taking lessons on, but we ran into a time issue, so we need to find time to get those lessons scheduled again.
Yeah.
But it's like a blue Starburst. It's really pretty.
Oh, that sounds cool.
And he was good at it. Unfortunately, there were like 6,000 other after-school activities going on.
Right. Well, starting out, I played sports in school, but then once I started with playing, that's all I did. I'll play guitar, I don't know, 8 hours a day. Dad used to come in and yell at me, like, put the damn guitar down, go outside and play baseball. You know? And be like, no, Dad. Oh, yeah.
Well, that's Aiden was in, I want to say it was 3 after school clubs. He's also doing Cub Scouts at the time. He's playing basketball. And then then he has 2 sisters that were also involved in Girl Scouts and after school clubs, and they're all 3 of them take music lessons. So
yeah.
It's not that he's not playing, he's just not playing the guitar right now. He
enjoy it though?
Oh, he did.
But does he enjoy it?
But he likes his trumpet better.
Oh wow. Well there you go. Yeah, probably make better living at it, because there's a million guitar players out there, not a lot of trumpet players.
Yeah, he plays the trumpet.
He'll probably have a better career.
He plays the trumpet. He plays the harmonica. He taught himself how to play the fife, and he can sit down.
Oh wow!
Sit down at a piano and play a piano without anyone ever showing him how.
that's fantastic. That's a natural born talent. That's good.
And then his sisters play the. Emmeline plays the flute and Bria plays the clarinet. So,
wow. So we have a musical household.
Lots of instruments covered here.
Yeah, I'd say so. That's cool.
I have one last question for you, Danny.
Yeah.
How can my listeners get a copy of The Despair of Summer?
It's available wherever fine music is sold. It's on Amazon, iTunes. You can stream it on Spotify and a million other streaming services, or the website DannyGochner.com. It's on the website.
I'm going to spell your last name.
We're at a show.
So when you go to Danny's website, it's Danny, obviously, and then
yes,
GochNour.com.
Yes, correct.
Because it doesn't look like it's pronounced. I want to make sure everybody would get that correct.
Right. Thank you very much for that.
Yeah. Well, Danny, I want to thank you for taking the time out to be on the show.
I thank you. This was my first podcast, so it's kind of exciting.
I love doing that. I love being first interview, and I love I love when I get to play music first that no one's heard.
Well, that's great. Thank you so much. It's been an honor.
All right. So those of you that listen religiously, I have a few more shows scheduled. Next week on August 2nd, we have Dear Anna from the eastern side of the state. I'm going to talk to Jonna, or Lady J, depending on how you know her, from First Angel Media on August 9th. I just scheduled today Alyssa Joseph, who is from the Philadelphia scene, on August 16th. And I am talking to the Borstal Boys out of Pittsburgh. I don't have a date for that one yet, but I will have a guest co-host of Lily V6 from Rock Rage Radio with me when I do that one. So make sure you check out those shows. And don't forget to check out 3 Questions and a Song, which you can find by going to podcastyourscene.com. And there are about 15 other podcasts about local and unsigned music on that page as well. We'll see you next week. Face when the baby left me in a peculiar way.
Die. began to wonder, will I make it home? She's sitting by the phone waiting for the call, telling her that she's left all alone. But here I am in the fire, trying my best just fighting for, and I began to wonder.
So Mama told me I was special. It turns out I'm just old.